Welcome to Comic Culture here on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, now also podcast at comicbookdaily.com. I'm your co-host, Walter Duralia, joined as always by Chris Owen, my co-host and professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College. Hey, Chris.
Walter, great to see you again, and I have to wish you a Merry Christmas.
And thank you.
Today is tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Wait. Eastern Christmas. Yes.
Tomorrow? Is it tomorrow?
Yeah, I thought it was the 7th.
I thought it was the 6th. You know what? You'd think I would know these things by now.
That's okay.
All right. Well,
It's Christmas Eve.
Today. Yes.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. Okay.
Thank you. I'd like to wish you a happy new year.
Thank you very much. Thank you. You know, I wanted to do something different because I figured everybody else and their brother would be wishing everybody else a happy new year. Yes. So I figured, you know, I'd start it off with a little bit something different.
Excellent. Well, thank you. And I plan to go to Mass tonight.
Very good.
And
very
eat
good.
A lot tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sure you will. But you know what? It's going to be that great Eastern European food has zero calories, thankfully, right?
No.
Well, all the pierogies and cabbage rolls
and
all the butter and all the sour. That's zero, right?
No, I think you are right. Yes. It's the new math.
Yeah,
zero.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. I look forward to that. But hey, Chris, you know, the show must go on.
Absolutely.
And not even the Eastern Orthodox Christmas can stop the flow of comics.
You know what? Absolutely right you are.
Right.
And so what do we have coming out for us today?
Well, Chris, today coming out from Marvel is Siege number 1.
Oh, right.
That's the big new Marvel series.
Yes. Yep. And what do we know about this one?
Well, you know, okay. So the way Marvel has got it dressed up is this: it's just the culmination of everything that's happened over the last 7 years at Marvel.
Yep.
Going way back to what do you got? Avengers Disassembled.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Civil War, House of M, Secret Invasion.
That's right, yeah.
They're saying it all's coming to a head now with the Siege.
Well, you know what? I would like to believe that. I would like to believe that it's kind of coming to an end. But we all know it's not going
to
happen.
No, it can't come to an end.
Yeah, I know.
Well, Osborn,
Norman Osborn, he was the head of...
He controls, some big organization now that the government's bought into.
That's right, yeah.
But I guess the last bastion where he doesn't have control is Asgard.
Oh, of course not. Yeah, right.
You know, the home of the gods, Thor
and
stuff. So he is now in cahoots with Loki.
Oh, of course.
And
the trickster.
Yes. Yeah. And now, this is where Siege comes, where these guys, the bad guys, are going to try to take the last part of the Marvel
U
that isn't under their influence.
Right. So they're going to have to go over the Rainbow Bridge and battle the old One-Eye Odin and...
Yes.
Yeah, and all that. Warriors 3, rather. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, Marvel's putting a lot of stock in this, and we'll see where it goes. I mean, hey, listen, every Marvel mega series has done great.
It
so
always
far
sells
in terms
well.
Of sales,
yeah. Absolutely. You know, I think part of the appeal to a lot of this stuff is the fact that a lot of fans don't want to be left out.
Yes.
They want to know what was the big event, what happened.
Yes.
And it's not like, I'm sure that there's not a whole lot of, not all the fans who are Marvel fans are Asgard and Thor fans.
Right.
But certainly there are people that want to know what's going on.
Right.
So fair enough. And I do too.
Okay. Well, it's an important launch in the comic world and
absolutely,
we're recording it. You know what? Punisher Max, Chris, Get Castle number 1 hits the stands today for Marvel today too. And, the storyline basically about Frank going back to, I guess, England, and something to do with the SAS squadron.
Yeah, right, okay.
That has just returned from Afghanistan.
Cool.
Barracuda. Remember Barracuda?
Yeah.
He's that big black guy, the villain. I think he's killed a friend of Castle's, and it's about revenge.
Right. Now, do we know who wrote this or who, any of the writers, the artists?
I know
traditionally Garth Ennis has done a lot of the writing, so that's why I was assuming it was him.
I don't have the info in front of me on who wrote this.
Okay.
But lately, though, not all the series are.
That's why I was wondering if maybe you knew. So
no, but Punisher always, and you and I discussed this before. What Punisher is doing well is, Punisher series don't really last.
No,
well,
they don't. But
the miniseries is always
do very well. Yeah,
and then they go to their trades.
Yeah, that's right.
And the trades always do well.
Yeah, you know what? It's a funny thing because as a series, Punisher. I mean, Punisher did last a long time.
It did.
But people seem to get disinterested in the series. It's
yes.
almost like they need to have like a 4-issue run, and then they need a break. And then they go back to it because sometimes it's a little bit too much with the Punisher, and you don't necessarily want to have it all the time.
Yeah, and I think though, too, the way Marvel's doing it now is they're able to use different creative teams this way with a six-issue arc a four-issue miniseries and a five-issue miniseries. But lots of Punisher fans still
very
out
cool.
there.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know what? And it's bad. I mean, I didn't see the second one. I saw the first Punisher with Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, yeah.
And, remember that one?
Well, you know, there's actually been a third Punisher movie. Did you know that?
Out.
Yeah, there was a Punisher. Geez, I don't remember the name of it now. Punisher Max or something like that. Punisher Reborn. But there was a the first one was with Dolph Lundgren. That was years ago.
Right, that's the one I saw.
Yeah, okay. So then there was a second one, the one that did fairly well.
The one I thought was the last one.
No, and then there's been one since then.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, so there's actually been three Punisher movies.
Well, the second one came out, remember, what was it, about 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, the last one came out like last year or two years ago.
Oh, that one snuck under my radar. I'm sorry.
So you know, it's obviously a franchise that is still going.
And guarantee another movie will probably come out eventually.
I'm sure. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Well, jumping over onto the DC side, Warlord number 10 by Mike Grell hits the stands today. Now, the reason I mention this, I am surprised it reached
number 10. Yeah, you know, me too. Warlord is a character that was around in the 70s.
Yes.
You know, and 80s. And,
that had a good run, though, Chris,
it did,
in the 70s.
Yeah, over 100 issues.
Yeah.
Hey, we said that at the same time.
Yes, coke on you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. stop.
Sorry, stop. Okay. But, obviously, the original run did very, very well, and I'm kind of surprised. I thought that this was a character that nobody really cared about anymore.
Yeah.
But clearly, if it's made it up to issue 10, it must be doing something right.
Yeah. A lot of Mike Grell fans out there, too.
Absolutely,
though.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
I think the fact that what happens sometimes when these creators that in the old days created these characters and these series and stuff like that, they don't necessarily stay on with that character. The character is resurrected with somebody else,
and it doesn't
work out and stuff like that.
That's
because
right.
I think the combo of the very few Warlord fans that were out there, when you couple of them with the, I guess, much more fans of Mike Grell out there
and
combine them, and actually I think they're doing
okay. And, you know, I have to say, I haven't actually read it yet, but there's still a lot of people out there who are still coming into the comic book world as their sort of new hobby, and they want to know what's involved.
Yep.
And it being a comic that is starting at a number one that doesn't have a huge history.
Yeah.
I mean, it did back in the day, but it's not like Batman or Superman where you have to know everything that's happened to them in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, so if I was a new reader, I might look at Warlord and say, "Hey, I'm going to pick this up. It's issue number 1." You know,
good point.
You know, I can pick it up and I can figure out what's going on, and if it's well written, I'll stick with it.
I think that's the key,
right?
Too. Like, and I mean, the genre, the sword and sorcery genre,
it's
still huge. It's
absolutely
massive.
Yeah.
Dark Horse is doing still great with Conan.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, this Marvel, I can't off the top of my head, does Marvel have a entry into the sword and sorcery genre at this moment?
Not really. No.
Maybe the listeners would know that.
I don't know. Well, you know,
if
a listener does know of one, I mean, I'm not familiar with any, but if a listener does know one, I invite them to email us at chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca or mailbox@bigbcomics.com.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, I don't think that they really do, because they're sort of out of that fantasy realm right now.
Yeah.
They don't have Conan, they don't have Red Sonja, they don't have any of those sort of classic characters.
You're right.
Now, maybe I'm wrong here, but I'm pretty sure they don't have anything like that. I think the closest they would come to would be like Sheena, right? You know,
yeah,
like the Jungle Girl kind of thing.
No,
but nothing really of sword and sorcery kind of thing. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, DC obviously feels strongly about that genre.
Yeah.
You know, kudos to them for sticking with Warlord.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also on DC, Chris, today, Blackest Night, Wonder Woman number 2 of 3. So this Blackest Night thing, which number 6 came out just before Christmas.
Yes.
And number 7 is due out later this month. It's an 8-part series.
Yeah, it's almost done.
It's almost done, and it's just rocked. I mean, this thing is rocked. And DC is still getting great residual sales from stuff like Blackest Night Wonder Woman, Blackest Night Green Lantern, Batman,
all that
Blackest
stuff.
Night Superman.
Yep.
So that hits the stands today because there really isn't anything else Blackest Night related this week. So people that are into the series will be jumping on that.
That's cool. Very cool.
All right, I think we're going to wrap that up, Chris,
okay.
For new this week.
Okay.
And we're going to dive right into some industry news.
So what do you got going for industry news this week?
We need a an industry news musical segue. Is that the Hawaii Five-0 theme?
You know what? It sort of started out as like Rocky, and then it became something into Hawaii Five-0. Okay.
Very good.
Yeah.
Talent.
Hey, Chris. Well, you know, yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to lead the news off with Disney.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, it's great because we don't really get a whole lot of Disney news.
Yes.
We did when Disney bought a Marvel or
well,
was
this
going
is
to.
Kind of.
Okay, I'm sorry.
There's a couple of industry news
regarding
the acquisition.
Okay.
First of all, it's official. New Year's, the deal is done. The votes have been done. So Marvel and Disney are now a partnership, a marriage, or whatever.
Cool.
The deal was there. I think that Marvel stockholders got $30 cash for every share of Marvel that they owned, along with almost like a 3/4 share of the Disney stock.
Cool.
So they did okay.
Yeah.
And so, hey. Now, I guess they're on the internet anyway, what I was reading is there were some people that thought they overpaid.
Right. I remember we talked about this before,
yeah,
right?
Because Marvel has given away the licenses to their best stuff.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
X-Men are somewhere else. Spider-Man is somewhere else.
Right, right.
These
right.
are the two big things.
Right,
but
right.
other people have called to note that, hey, if anybody can make things work,
yes.
it's Disney.
Absolutely.
Because they have the power to sell.
That's right. Absolutely, yes.
And so Marvel has this stable of 5,000 characters,
yeah.
A bunch of which you and I think, oh, man, those are crud.
Yeah.
Guess what? If anybody can turn them into magic,
yep. Yep.
it's Disney.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
They obviously don't feel that they've overpaid.
That's cool. No, that's good. That's good. I like to hear that.
And
you know, and you know, a lot of people are coming on to some of the minor characters as well. Like, there's still that Ant-Man movie that's in development.
Yep.
And you know, I'm assuming that might have something to do with the Disney now. You know, it might have more of a push if it goes through. You know, all that kind of stuff. So
I've heard rumors that AOV is in negotiations. That's Adults Only Video.
Oh, yeah?
With the Nightmares license.
Come on.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Is this thing on?
Yeah, that was a little joke by Walter, in case you weren't too sure. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure a lot of our listeners might go out and buy that, but it won't be coming to a mainstream theater anytime
soon.
Yeah, yeah.
No, we all, trust me, and everybody, you know, wants to be a naysayer, but we all want this to work. We all want Marvel to succeed.
Absolutely.
And Disney to succeed with this marriage, and we all want great products to come out, basically.
For sure.
That's
for sure.
The bottom line. On the same note, you know, Disney has now expanded its ties with Stan Lee.
Oh, get out, really?
Yeah. Now, Stan Lee has that company, what is it, Stan Lee Pow?
Yes, yes.
Right?
Power Entertainment or something like that?
Yeah, Pow Entertainment.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And so Disney's actually bought a bit of the some equity in the company.
Okay.
And I think, this is where Disney is smart.
Oh, yeah.
Stan is the man.
He is.
You know,
Stan Lee is still the spokesperson for Marvel.
Marvel.
Whether people like it or not, he's still
exactly.
the icon, right? Like,
exactly.
Yes.
And Disney has identified that.
Yeah.
And Marvel really kind of, I won't say ignored him. They didn't.
Well, I think they couldn't. I think, you know,
they didn't use him to his full potential.
They didn't use him to the full potential, probably for financial reasons. I think where there's some, you know, there's a couple of years there that Marvel was going through some hard times.
Yeah.
They didn't go. They never went bankrupt, but they came close a couple times. And I know at one point, you know, they were paying Stan Lee $1 million retainer as sort of the spokesperson guy to kind of, you know, be there to talk about Marvel and that kind of thing. So, you know, $1 million is a lot of money. So maybe they figured, well, you know what, we can't afford this right now. So let's sort of, you know, go by the wayside. However, having said all that, I think that Disney is, you know, the key company to try to rein him back in and to get him going and to get him talking about, you know, all the great projects that he's worked on.
Exactly. But, I mean, I don't think there's a better ambassador.
Oh, no. Of course not.
Or a better even salesman.
No.
To get out there than Jack LaLonde there. I'm sorry, Stan Lee.
Jack LaLonde.
Remember that guy, the old guy?
First of all, I think you meant to say Jack LaLanne.
LaLanne, that's it.
And wasn't he like the fitness guru?
Well, he was an 89-year-old guy, and he'd go on the infomercials
and sell the
Dicer Slicers and
yeah,
stuff,
well,
the juicers.
Okay, yeah, he was also.
And that would be Stan. That's my point. Stan would be up there. Greetings, fellow believers!
For all of you who want to lift weights for the rest of your life.
For all of you that want to watch the new Spider-Man cartoon.
Excelsior!
You know? So, and then all the kids are going, Dad, what the hell is that?
Who the hell is Jack LaLanne?
No, yeah. But I think, I really do think that Disney will get their money's worth with
absolutely,
Stan Lee.
Absolutely, yes, you know? Absolutely.
And I'm glad
yes.
that Stan now is back in the fold.
He is, absolutely, yes.
Okay.
What else you got?
Captain America filming is to begin
nice.
In June.
Well, you know, I'm a big Captain America fan, so I'm very excited about the fact that there's going to be a new Captain America movie. There was one, you know, many years ago, I'll say like 15, 20 years ago. It was a horrible, horrible movie with Captain America in it, and it had there had the Red Skull in it, played by they said that the Red Skull was an Italian guy, and he didn't, you know, he was actually just a mask, and it was a horrible
was
movie.
It,
yeah,
was that made for TV or made for?
It was actually made for the it was made for cinemas. Main cinemas, but it never got released, so you had to see like a bootleg copy of it, kind of thing, and which I've seen, and it's just absolutely atrocious.
Right? But, like, is it atrocious where? It's so bad that it's good.
It's almost there. It's a little bit too bad.
It's not even that bad.
Yeah, it's a little bit too bad, oh, okay. Right? Like it's just boring bad.
Right. Okay.
You know, for example, you know, he had, you know, rubber ears on his on like his helmet thing or whatever you want to call it, just to make it look like it had real ears there.
Oh no. Nice.
It was just really really dumb looking, right? So
okay. All right.
At any rate, anyway, sorry.
I'm pretty sure this one will not have rubber ears.
I don't think so.
And I think this is going to be really, really good because this is Marvel, you know, putting the aligning the stars together.
Absolutely.
And getting everything going toward that big Avengers movie and stuff like that. Now, they say principal photography is going to start around June.
Yep.
And over the next few months, they will be making the announcements for casting. Now, have we discussed who's going to, who we think?
No, we haven't really talked at all about the Captain America movie.
Brad Pitt.
Yeah, well, you know,
he looks like Steve Rogers.
He could pull it off. He could very easily pull it off.
It's not a Johnny Depp, Nicolas Cage role.
No. I thought, you know who I also thought would be good is that Aaron Eckhart guy, the guy that played Two-Face in, what's his name? Dent. Harvey Dent in the latest Batman movie.
But is he well known enough?
Oh yeah, by now.
Does
for
he have
sure.
Star power
now? Oh yeah. Especially after being in Batman
but he was
Dark
a villain and
yeah, no, but he totally would.
Yeah?
He's been in lots of other movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he'd be good too. He's got like that, you know,
the
that
square jaw
double chin
chiseled,
thing.
Right.
Or cleft chin. I shouldn't say double chin. That's what you and I have.
Yes.
Excelsior. This is Stan Lee saying Walter and Chris have double chins.
Chris, anybody else though? I can't think of anybody else.
No, you know, Brad Pitt would be good. After seeing him in Inglourious Bastards, I think he'd be really good in that.
Yeah,
too,
he's got
right?
that.
You know,
he's got that square jaw.
That
good all
you know?
American jaw.
And maybe if Steve McQueen was still around, maybe he could have done it.
Right.
You know,
okay, or Robert Redford.
Steve
Rogers in the cartoons is basically a square jawed, good looking blonde guy.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Now, is this? I didn't even check. Is the movie? Is Steve Rogers Captain America?
As far as I know.
All right. So that is July 22nd, 2011, the supposed scheduled release date for that. And Chris, I think that wraps it up.
Well, you know, I think it's, you know, we're going to do
a
bit of a cliche here.
Yes.
It's the beginning of the new year.
It is.
Right.
Happy New Year again.
And although I'm sure a lot of people are doing this, I think it's something that we would like to do for our fans.
Yes.
All three of you out there who can't, you know, have broken radios and can't change the dial.
Yes.
We want to kind of take a look ahead of what's installed for 2010, because I think there's some really cool things coming out, and sometimes you don't get a breast of the information through the internet, and we kind of have a little bit of an idea of what's going on here.
A little bit of an idea of what's going on is what Chris is saying, and believe it or not, he's almost right.
Almost.
Well, like Chris, I am looking for, and this doesn't have to be comic book related.
No.
It has to be comic related.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the show's always championed comics.
That's right.
And
that's
it's
right.
not just comic books, but no, it's comics in society.
Well, as you know, right. we really haven't mentioned it recently, but we should mention it again about how, you know, comics and the comic medium is really, going leaps and bounds into the rest of the cultures out there, the movie culture and novels and everything out there, right?
Everything.
So it's seeping into North American lifestyle, whether you like it or not. People are accepting it more and more all the time.
And that's not a bad thing.
No, not at all.
And we're championing that. And this show is all about that. It's all about, hey, embrace the whole comic culture.
That's right, yeah.
It's a good culture.
As many times we've said how great comics and graphic novels are, even though we talk about the fact that the show is called Comic Culture, but really, comic is, again, as I tell my students sometimes, the comic is a misnomer because most of the time comic books out there aren't necessarily comical. Mm-hmm. However, due to the history of the comic book, right, they started out as funny books, really.
Right. So we have the history working against this.
You're right.
So there's a deep-rooted preconception that we're just trying so hard to eliminate.
Right.
Get that past us and move on to... it being just a great entertainment art form.
Yes, absolutely. So. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Oh, okay. Hey, you know what I'm looking forward to?
What's that?
Is that Kick-Ass movie.
Oh, yeah, right.
Now, I read the Marvel had a great miniseries, or still has a great miniseries, called Kick-Ass, about, some teenager saying, hey, why hasn't anybody ever become a superhero? So he goes out and tries to become a superhero and gets the crap kicked out of him.
Of course,
and stuff,
yeah.
And it's just a fresh, fresh take. It was a surprise hit.
Yes. It was done by John Romita Jr. and Mark Miller.
Yep.
And I think everybody was kind of surprised at how well it did. I mean, it was sort of meant to be like a little, independent-ish kind of series where it didn't really connect with anything else. Because, again, it's not meant to be put in the Marvel Universe. It's meant to be placed in a real universe where there are no superheroes out there. And I've seen some clips of it.
The trailers are great. The guy diving off the building.
It looks awesome.
And I've seen the what's the Nick Cage trailer with his daughter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Kick Ass.
Yes.
Where he's teaching her how to take a bullet, basically,
right? Yeah.
And basically he's shooting her and with a bulletproof vest. She goes, Dad, can we go for ice cream? Oh, just three more shots, honey. It was really good.
Yeah, no, but it looks really good. Okay, looking forward to Kick Ass.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Kick Ass. Chris, do you have anything?
You know what? I know you're looking forward to Kick Ass, but even more so, I'm looking forward to I got Captain America on the brain. I'm looking forward to Iron Man 2.
Yes.
I love the first Iron Man. I thought Robert Downey Jr. did an amazing job as Tony Stark. Now I'm looking forward to seeing not only Robert Downey Jr. return as Iron Man, but I'm looking forward to seeing
Mickey Rourke,
who's going to be playing Whiplash. Who I think is a really a phenomenal idea, because there's a lot of great Marvel villains out there that were sort of canon for Iron Man.
Yeah.
And Whiplash, when people say Whiplash, why him? But you know what? He translates great into movies.
Yes.
He's sort of simple. It's not too technical or anything like that. Mickey Rourke, of course, looks great as the character. I'm looking forward to who is it?
Scarlett Johansson
as Black Widow. Brand. How could you not be looking forward to that? I don't remember his name now. There's going to be a new guy playing the role of Jim Rhodes.
Yeah.
I don't remember his name right
Neither
now.
Do I. Yeah.
But it's
and what's her name's coming back? Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow is coming as Pepper Potts.
Yes.
And I'm really looking forward to seeing this new Iron Man 2 movie.
Well, I'll say it. Spider-Man, the first Spider-Man movie, I mean, you can say that, Tim Burton's Batman way back in the day, whatever, but it won't be that. I think the first Spider-Man movie is the one that shocked the film world into superheroes.
Yeah,
going, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Then let's just put them out en masse after that. And then, really, I don't know, there was some sort of complacency set in and stuff like that. And it was Iron Man, the last one.
Oh, totally.
That jolted it back into kind of, it gave it that, clear, and the shock thing.
Yeah,
these are great again, right?
Iron Man and Batman the Dark Knight. And, I got to say that even the second Hulk movie, I don't remember his name now. Oh, gosh.
Bruce Banner.
Well, no. the guy that played in the Hulk, the second movie.
I don't
remember his name. Billy Bob Norton.
Okay.
Yeah, good try. But Ed Norton, he did a great job as Bruce Banner. And he really helped bring that franchise back from the dead from what Ang Lee had done with it, right?
So. Yeah. But I just hope... I guess what everybody's concerned with, and like in all movies, is the sequels. You know, if they keep it fresh and not serious like the first one was, they're going to have a hit
for sure
on their hands.
So okay, so what else is going on for this year?
Well, I'm looking forward to the Scott Pilgrim, a couple of Scott Pilgrim things.
Yes,
first the movie, and the secondly, the Volume 6 is due out this year too,
right?
And Scott Pilgrim was filmed in Toronto.
Yes,
and
yes,
again,
that's right.
Scott Pilgrim, great. Everybody should read Scott Pilgrim. Basically,
yeah, it's doing very, very well. As I mean, obviously, if it's gone up to you know issue 6 in the trades,
yes, Oni Press prints it, and Brian Lee O'Malley writes and draws it.
Yeah.
It's basically about a guy likes this girl, but you know he's got to get through her 7 evil ex-boyfriends
to get
to her. And it's all about, like we mentioned before, it's all about the storytelling, all about the writing.
Yeah.
Great art too, and I'm really looking forward to the movie.
And
actually,
and of course, now we've got we've got the movie coming out. Yeah. It was filmed in Toronto, as you say. Yeah. It should be really good. Very looking forward to that.
I'm wondering how that's going to translate. These are, you know, I mean, I don't know. 10 years ago, there was the Generation X crowd and stuff like that.
Yes.
I don't know what the teenagers of today are called if we're giving them a tag.
Right.
But it's that crowd. It's that youth kind of strain.
Yeah. Yep.
We're going to see how they take to it.
Generation Y.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
And
Zed.
If they take to it, it'll do well for...
Well, you know what's interesting is that I think that movie and I think the Kick-Ass movie are two movies that are going to be very alike as far as the draw and the appeal to the kind of people they're looking for. Two completely different movies, but I think they're going to one's going to appeal to one sort of area culture of a teenager, and one's going to appeal to the other.
Whereas
the other.
Iron Man is going to draw in lots of old timers like you and me,
as well as younger
Scott
people.
Pilgrim, right? Yeah. It's going to be, I don't know, you know, I don't know, anybody over 20, 25 might not want to
see
it.
We might see it because we're fans of the comic,
right,
but other than that, we might not, not have bothered.
That's my next one. How about you, Chris?
Okay, well, you know what? I do have one more thing that I want to talk about very briefly. I don't know if we're going to have time for two more things, but I got to say, I am looking forward to, now, it's got nothing to do with actual comic books, but it has something to do with Star Wars, which is a very popular in the comic. Huge Star Wars fan. Kotobukiya, which is a company that does a lot of Star Wars
Those nice deluxe toys.
Really
and
nice
stuff like
Star
that.
Wars
high-end
statues
stuff,
and things like that. Well, they're actually coming out with lightsaber chopsticks.
Come on.
Yeah, lightsaber chopsticks. They're going to look like little lightsabers. And so now you can eat your sushi with little lightsabers. Star Wars lightsaber chopsticks.
Just going to be like, can you order these through a comic store?
I'm pretty sure, if you go to your local comic book store, you can ask about them. I'm not too sure what kind of colors they're coming in or exactly when they're coming out. But if you go to your comic book store and inquire about them, you can certainly, it's on the website. I'm pretty sure there's different colors. I think blue and green for sure.
Now,
I'm not
too sure. You're a Star Wars guy.
Yes,
I don't know.
Yes.
What do the colors in the chop, do they mean something?
They don't really mean...
Does purple mean horny?
No, it doesn't mean anything like that.
Oh,
however, Mace Windu had a purple lightsaber. And Mace Windu was Samuel L. Jackson.
I take that back.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Anyways, but the lightsabers I think are going to be a lot of fun when they come out.
Oh.
We got a couple more minutes left here. Do we have anything else that's here?
We don't have a couple minutes. It's going to be like 20 seconds, Chris. No, you know what? I got a couple
more.
Even dive into them now because we're out of time.
Oh,
again.
You know what? I looked at the wrong part of the clock there.
We wish everybody a fruitful and successful 2010.
Yes.
The comic industry is going to throw such good things at us this year. I'm looking forward to it. I guess the main thing is to go out and support the hobby.
Yep.
Go out and support your local comic shops. Go out and support the comic movies.
Yes, absolutely.
Just immerse yourself in the comic culture because...
You know what? If I can say something try something new. Like, go out and, maybe if you're going to read a novel or your favorite Stephen King, try something a little bit, try to read a Stephen King comic or try reading a graphic novel.
Good.
You know, just try something new. I think that should be your New Year's resolution.
Excellent advice. And you know what? If you're reading Batman every month and you're reading Spider-Man every month, try a new one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, having said that, if you do have any comments or questions about our show, please email us at chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca or mailbox@bigbycomics.com. Have a great new year and try something new.
And see everybody next week.
Bye-bye.